in His Word that we shouldn't do something. It's always for our good. I think when we're younger, we don't always believe that. But we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us, and when He says, don't do something, we shouldn't do it, because if we do cross these laws that He's given to us, we're usually going to pay a price for that. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God, a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or your sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us truth. You've given us a moral compass as we go through life. And Father, we pray as we gather together this morning that we will understand the fifth commandment to honor our father and our mothers. So Lord, bless your word as it goes forth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned to you before, all of God's commandments are given for our benefit. And this particular one that we're going to look at this morning, the fifth commandment, is so important for the family. I don't know if you realize today that the family has been under attack for so many years. And families are separating, families are having issues as never before. There's been an all-out attack on the family. And I understand why, because when you destroy that basic unit called the family, then society begins to suffer, and countries begin to suffer, because God created us, male, female, and created the original family. And family is so important to all of us as we enter into this thing of understanding, honoring our families and honoring those in the leadership of our families, our fathers and our mothers. And so I want to answer this first question to you. How do we honor? And I know it doesn't look quite right there in the bulletin. It says, how do we honor our mothers on this Mother's Day? And I'm going to talk to different age groups here. The first stage or age group is children. What's the definition of a child? Well, in our culture, children usually stay under parents' authority until about 18. And then they're released out into society. Some leave the home earlier than that. But typically, we look at children as being 18 and under. I know if you're a teenager here this morning, you might not appreciate that. And I do have a comment for teenagers, too. But when we look at children, the way that we honor our mothers is to obey them, to do what they tell us to do. Because God's given you a mother who cares for you, who's going to protect you, who's going to show you what is right morally in life. And I trust that is true of our mothers here this morning. It's so important that we understand that God has placed mothers in a position of authority with their children to nurture and care for them. Because without a mother, children are going to wander through life and they're going to suffer greatly. And I want to thank all of the mothers here who have done a good job raising their children. caring for their children, and we want to honor you on this, your special day. So the first classification is what we call children. Listen to your parents. In Ephesians 6:1, it says, children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. And that is so true as we look at God's word. Obedience is better than anything you can give to your mothers. Now, there's a second group of people, and we call these teenagers. And this particular group also is very interesting when you look at them, because teenagers usually think once they reach a certain age of maybe 13 or a little bit older, that they can be independent. They don't need their parents. And many times they think their parents don't really know much. Because when you become 13 and 14, you begin to think that you have all the answers, that you know everything, and your parents don't know anything. Mark Twain, he made an interesting comment about children and teenagers. He said, "It's amazing how much my father learned when I was between the ages of 14 and 21. I thought he was pretty ignorant. But it's the truth, isn't it? When you look at how our lives unfold, and we are children, and then we become teenagers, we get more independence and think we can do it on our own. And many times we can't. And one of the things that I learned when I was a teenager was that my mother was usually right. I confessed that to her after I had given my life to Christ. I went to my mother and I told her about my conversion, and she was so thrilled because she had prayed for me for so many years. Because when I was a child, I pretty much did what my mother told me to do. But when I became a teenager, I started running with some bad company. And my mother warned me so often. She would say something like this: "Be careful about the friends you choose, because you're going to do what your friends do. And you're going to become what your friends are." And I looked at her, and at that particular point in my life, I said, "Mom, you're wrong. My friends are never going to leave me or desert me. They're going to care for me, and besides, they like me. We have things in common." But she was right. She was right about that. And we read so many proverbs that say, "Be careful about the company you keep, because if you keep bad company, you could end up experiencing some very difficult things in your life." Another thing my mother was right about, and I didn't believe this, but she was right about how one thing leads to another. This last couple of weeks, I had a chance before I went into my medical issue. I went to Teen Challenge down at Brainerd. And one of the things they do down at Teen Challenge, they're raising money, obviously. They're fundraising, so they have this big dinner at Cragen's Resort, and it's a beautiful place. And they probably had 90 tables with maybe 6 people at a table. And they have the men get up and give testimonies about their life and about how they ended up in the situation that they're in. And it seemed like one man after man would get up and say something like this: "It started really young, when I was 10 or 11. I started smoking. And when I started smoking, then that led to drinking. And then drinking led to experimenting with drugs, marijuana. And then marijuana led to heroin. And then heroin to meth." And it just seemed like there was a steady progression as they were sharing how they got into their addiction problem. And it's so true. Once you open the gate to something and you compromise in one area of your life, you're prone to compromise again and again and again. And before you know it, you can end up in a situation, in a predicament that you never thought you would be in. It's called addiction. And it can destroy your life. I am so thankful for Teen Challenge that offers these men and women forgiveness. They offer them the Word of God. They offer them the opportunity to have a life changed. And how important it is for us as people here in this church to support them. And they're going to be coming, I believe, on June 23rd to our church. So you want to keep that in mind and make sure you attend. You know, as we look at this commandment, the fifth commandment, it's repeated so often in the scriptures. And it seems like there's revelation that's added to it as it continues to be shared in the scripture. So I'm just going to read for you Deuteronomy 5:16, where we see this commandment once again. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. We see the first one listed here, upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. And I understand that this is in reference to Israel, this land situation. But as it continues to be shared in the scriptures, we see that another promise is added to it. May it be well with you. And this word well is a deep subject. Did you know that? Did you get that? Okay, it's not that funny, I know, but it is a deep subject. That it may be well with you. May be good with you. It's a promise. God's given us promises with this fifth commandment. And then we think about the land issue. Well, we go to the book of Ephesians, and we read this. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live a long life on the earth. So there's two promises here, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Now, before we get into that, I just want to finish off what I started here in these categories of different ages. I left off with teenager. I want to get now to a young adult. When you become a young adult and you leave home, how can you honor your mother? Well, you can still value her. You can still praise her. You can still acknowledge the significant things that she's done for you in your life, how she's contributed to you being the person that you are. I'll never forget when I looked at my mother, and after I had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and my life was turned around completely, and how she was so thrilled. I looked at her and I said, Mom, I said, you are the one responsible for me getting into the Word. You were the one, Mom, that showed me what true Christianity was all about. She modeled it. Now, she wasn't perfect. She had her faults just like all of us. But when I think of a Christian mother, I think of my mother, because she was such a stalwart in our home. She was so committed to us as children. She was so dedicated to making sure that we got spiritual instruction, even when I didn't want it. Even when I didn't want to go to church, she would say, you don't have a choice in this, Stan. You're going. And I can remember a time sitting in church and going through this process of, why am I here? This is boring. Nothing's relating to me. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, obviously there were some things that soaked into my life while I was in church, even though I didn't want to be there. Why? Because God's word is living and powerful. So I sat under it for so many years as a young boy. I sat under the word of God, even though at times I didn't want to hear it and I didn't want to listen to it. But it had a great influence on my life. So young adults, always value your mother. Always thank your mother. And the reality is someday your mom's not going to be there. The Lord's going to take her home, and you won't have that opportunity. Now, another category as we continue on is when our parents become elderly. And I guess I'm in that category now. So my son cared for me when we went down to the cities and I was developing this issue. And we had to go to the ER. My son took me to the ER at Health East in Maplewood. And my son has a great sense of humor. And I appreciate that so much about him. And you may think this is strange, but it was a time for us to bond through all of this. Because he took me down to the ER, and he had to sit around with me, and so we're chatting. And so they're doing this procedure on me, and the first thing they did was an ultrasound to see how much urine I was retaining. And I was retaining a lot. And so they were doing this ultrasound on me. And my son, who has such a great sense of humor, said, is it a boy or a girl? I say, you're killing me. You're killing me, son. Don't do that. It was really difficult to laugh at that particular point. But I appreciated so much his love and concern for me and his care, because he was willing to take me down there. And he's been in touch with me ever since, wondering how I've been. It's nice to know that your children care about who you are and about how you're doing with your health. Now, this is something that I think some of us struggle with, and that is taking care of our parents as they come to a point where they can't care for themselves. And I know biblically, when you read 1 Timothy chapter 5, that it's okay if you can take your parents into your home, and I've met several individuals who have done that. But sometimes you can't do that because it disrupts your home, and I understand that. And I wasn't able to take my mother because of the need she had. And she ended up in a nursing home for about 7 years until she went home to be with the Lord. But my dad was just the opposite. You know, he had pretty good health up until this last year, so we had opportunities to care. My older sister and I, and we are the ones that are the caregivers, we're the caregivers for our dad. She would have him for weeks, and then she'd call me up and say, Stan, could you spell me for a week or two? Would you take Dad? Because I need a break. And I said, I can do that. And so I had the opportunity to have my dad at home. I had an opportunity to serve my dad. And if you know anything about my dad, before he gave his life to Christ, he wasn't always the best guy. And but I had an opportunity to minister to him, to serve him, and in the last part of his life, which is kind of special to me when I look back on it. So if you have that opportunity to take care of your parents, do it. You know, younger people, God's word says that could be a real blessing to you, and it was to me. Now, getting back to this commandment about all being well and living long, it's so clear in the scriptures when you read this that this is God's intent for us, that we would honor our mother and our father. And if we can do that, things will go well with you. Does it mean that everything is going to be great in your life? No. But overall, God is going to bless you for doing that. That's what he says. Things will be well with you. Another word for that in Hebrew is good. That God is going to bless your life because of your obedience to him and caring for your parents. Excuse me. So, the other one is that you'll live long. And this is not to say that those who die young have not obeyed their parents. I know when I say that, some might think, well, how come someone dies very young? Well, we leave that in the hand of God. But we do have this commandment from God that if we will honor our parents, honor our mothers, that we will live a long life. And I'll leave that with him because he is sovereign over that. He's the one who gives life and takes life, and he is the judge on that. So when we look at this, there's a verse that always I think is such a blessing to me, and that is that, you know, what do you want most of all today, mothers? What do you want? You're going to probably get a card. That's important. Or you might get a telephone call from one of your children. Or you might have a visit from one of your children. But what does a mother want most of all? A mother wants most of all the love that she has shared with her children to be reciprocated back to her. She wants to feel that love, that she is prized, she is valued, that she is someone very special. So I want to encourage you. And as I stand here and look out over the audience this morning, I know that many of you, your moms or dads are gone, just like mine. But you can honor your spouse who is a mother and let her know how much you greatly appreciate all that she has done and all that she is doing. You know, we have families that are so different in our culture today, and I'm not here to say anything negative about any of them, because I really value a single mom. And I've had a lot of experience counseling with single moms, and I wonder, how do they do that? It's difficult with two parents, a father and a mother at home, but now you just have a mother at home or a father at home. And being a single parent is so taxing. It's so overburdening on a person. And yet, by God's grace, I know so many Christian mothers and fathers who are doing that. And I just want to encourage them, too, to not quit and to keep serving the Lord and to keep serving your children, because God will bless you for that. I think what mothers want most of all is what we all want, and that is that your children come to know Christ, just like my mom. You know, I have four. I have four siblings. I have an older sister and three younger ones. And my mother, she told me, she said, "Stan, now understand, you're the preacher. I'm leaving. Now your job, to get him into heaven." I said, "Mom, wait a minute here." And I'll never forget that before she lost her mind, she said, "Stan, just make sure they hear the gospel. Make sure they hear the truth." And I have shared the truth with my siblings, and I trust they have placed their faith in Christ. I trust that they have embraced Jesus as their Savior, and so that one day our family will be reunited in heaven. And what a day that'll be, because we're all going through this journey down here on earth. Some of us have come from good families. Some of us have come from some very dysfunctional families. But all of us have family members. We all have a mother. We all have a father. And may God help the families today. May God bless the families today. I think in our church, first of all, I pray that every family here will experience what God has for them. And it's good. It's not evil. God's word is truth. Are you aware today that we're living in a truth crisis? Are you aware today of what is going on in the dysfunctional families? It's heartbreaking. It's heart-wrenching when you think about it. But I have seen families, when they come to Christ and they begin to build their lives on the truth of God's word, and they do what God tells us to do, that their families are transformed. Their families are changed because of God's grace in their family. It's amazing how Christ can change a home. And he can. He can change a home. When Christ comes into our lives and comes into a home, it can be radically changed forever. Because he is the source of life. He is the source of all that we need in this life. And truly, he can help our families. Amen. Again, I want to honor you mothers here today. I want to honor my wife especially, because do you know what kind of disease my wife has? It's called Stanitis. The problem is, when I get sick, and I don't always pick the best time to go to the ER, like 3 o'clock in the morning, 11:30 at night, and I had to wake her up, and she took me, and she went without sleep. And whenever my wife goes without sleep, she's going to get sick. And boy, she got sick. So now she's recovering from Stanitis. And my prayer for her is that she'll get healthy again. But I'm also thankful that she's been there for me through all of this. You know, I had the opportunity to, she was so sick that I drove down to Rochester. And I was feeling strong enough and healthy enough to do that by myself. But when I went down there and sat in the waiting room, waiting to see the doctor or the physician assistant, I noticed that most of the men had their wives there. And most of the wives had their husbands there. And I thought, you know, this is, I think, how God planned it, that we go through this life together. And we share our moments of pain, we share our moments of joy, but we share it together. So, Barb, I know what you've gone through too. So, Lord, bless you. Isn't it nice to have a faithful wife, Brad? Amen. I am too. And she's very faithful to me until she ends up in the ER. And then it's my responsibility for her. So just thank you again for allowing me to be back here. I'm not the strongest yet, but I wanted to be here because, number one, I love you. And I thank you for your love for me. I wanted to tell you that. Amen. Wade, are you handy? You can come up now, brother.